Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from 1 Kings. The word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as he and her household, ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that spoke by Elijah. The word of the Lord. Let us read the psalm responsively. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, O my soul. Put not your trust in rulers, in mortals, in whom there is no help. Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Who gives justice to those who are oppressed, and food to those who hunger. The Lord sets the captive free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked. The second reading is from Hebrews. Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to be to offer himself again and again, as the high priest enters the holy place year after year with blood that is not his own, for then he would have had to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after that the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted and with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses for the sake of appearance and say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which are worth about a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. This evening, the catechism class will be discussing the third commandment: remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. One of the insights that Pastor Alfie brings to the discussion is that dictionary definitions of holiness do not help when describing the Sabbath day and its holiness, much less faithful followers of Jesus and their holiness. Instead, Pastor Alfie notes that the holiness is more about being set apart and being touched by God. In fact, through the waters of baptism, the faithful followers of Jesus are set apart for a particular relationship with God and one another. Last week in worship, this congregation heard the ninth graders affirm this covenant relationship that God initiates in baptism. To live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Holy Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to seek justice and peace in all the earth. These young people and all the faithful have been set apart for community, for fellowship, for proclamation, for service, and for justice work. To understand that the holy ones, the saints, are those who have been touched by God is ancient. In Jesus, God's touch works miracles in healing, restoration to community, and new life. One understanding is that holy baptism, by the intersection of water and God's word and the presence of the Holy Spirit, is a moment when one is touched by God, made holy by God's activity, indeed set apart for ministry. That ministry is fundamentally grounded in witness. All the faithful are called to share the truth of God's love in the very essence of their life, in their words and in their actions. Martin Luther argued that having put on Christ through baptism, each one is of equal stature and status in the light of Christ. So often people want to revere certain people, certain others, as more holy, more set apart, more saintly than others. Sometimes the identification comes because of role or office. Pastors, deacons, and other professionals in ministry can be assigned this elevation and mantle. When it comes to ministry and worship, I've heard it said that some believe they could not possibly read the scriptures or assist in the communion distribution because presumably they do not believe themselves to be enough in some way. Sometimes the holiness emanates from particular actions by a person. People will say that a person's behaviors in the face of adversity make them a saint. Each of these kinds of affirmation are grounded in truth, yet they also raise the question about what the culture of the church reveres as valuable. On this All Saints Sunday, the church recalls the faithful departed, particularly those who have died this past year. The church remembers the witness of those individuals. The church acknowledges the loss, the grief. The church also celebrates and honors their witness and the gospel promise of resurrection hope. As the church hears the gospel this morning, it is important to remember that what has happened in the past 2 weeks since the story was last in Mark's gospel. When we left off, Bartimaeus had begged for healing of his sight from Jesus. He called him Son of David, and Bartimaeus became a follower of Jesus. And from there, Jesus entered into Jerusalem. He entered that last week of ministry, challenging the princes and principalities, addressing the ways that religious leaders had distorted God's desire, God's law. Much has happened. Here's a quick list of the episodes between what we last heard and what we heard today. Jesus cursed a fig tree, and Jesus confronted the temple, well, the marketplace. Some call it the cleansing of the temple. Jesus' authority has been questioned by religious leaders. Jesus has begun teaching in parables, beginning with a parable about wicked tenants. Some who wanted to trap Jesus asked about paying taxes. And others who wanted to trap him asked about the resurrection. Jesus articulates the first commandment, to love the Lord your God. And then there's this question about the Son of David. That's where we pick up today. And Jesus begins by teaching his followers to beware the scribes. Perhaps this denunciation includes other religious leadership. These leaders love to be seen and to be held in high esteem. They pray in long prayers to show off and to draw attention to themselves. Oh, look how holy they are. What wonderful prayers they pray. They demand places of honor at banquets. Their understanding of the reign of God sets them apart in a way that separates them from the larger community of faith. These leaders have interpreted the law in ways that create injustice, devouring widows' houses. Right on cue, disciples go and sit with Jesus outside the treasury. They watch as people make their offerings. Some were giving large sums of money. It all seems so impressive. Surely these people are saints. Then comes a widow who gives her all. There it is. She's not all that impressive in the sight of the culture of the temple leadership and perhaps even in the sight of the disciples. The regressive nature of the temple offering system is so profound that she gives her 2 small copper coins. Jesus has already condemned the injustice of these systems. He has denounced the enforcers of these understandings, yet here he drives the point home. Her witness is one of giving all she had to live on. She does not have abundance to give from. To be sure, she is a special kind of faithful. At the same time, on this All Saints Sunday, it is important to ensure that the church today has recalibrated its understanding of what faithful witness looks like. The value of the witness is grounded in the faithfulness of the holy ones, those touched by God, the faithful set apart, the saints. Justice. God's justice that seeks the well-being of all people is clear in our hearing today. This past week, a member of this congregation came to ask about the justice of systems that undergird eviction processes, especially for those who are living in poverty. This past week, I met with pastors and families of the local chapter of Missouri Faith Voices, where the question was raised about how our churches will work together for justice for poor people, for unhoused people, for hungry people in our community, moving beyond just feeding ministries and housing, but to seek ways to address the injustices baked in. What will the witness of this congregation be? The reign of God announced and embodied by Jesus Christ calls this congregation and all the faithful to work for just systems that care for all people, that value especially those who live in poverty, those opportunities whose opportunities are limited on so many levels. For indeed, in our hearing, the gospel proclaimed, the faithful are touched by God. Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.